Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. We're going to be joined shortly by Kelly Keene. She's a regular recurring guest on the show, but she's an author, personal finance educator, and consumer advocate for FP Canada. But before we invite Kelly on, Faisal, we're seeing a bigger and bigger trend, right? We've talked about this before where parents are helping out their children more and more. But it's not just the big ticket items. Like often it's for necessities, right? So this was an interesting statistic I saw.
Okay.
Minimum wage earners in Vancouver. So if you're a young person starting out in Vancouver and you're hitting minimum wage,
yeah,
would need to work 112 hours a week for an average two bedroom. 112 hours a week.
Okay.
That's a lot of hours.
Yeah.
Is that possible?
That's 3 weeks out of every month just to pay rent.
Just to pay rent.
That means you have to live off of everything else off of 1 week of income at minimum wage.
Yeah, getting difficult. In some areas
But you have two bedrooms. I don't know why you need two bedrooms as an individual.
You got to rent one out.
Right? So you got to have somebody else in there. Why don't you share the cost? That's a different conversation. Yeah. We can go down that path. But the point that I think you're trying to make here is it's very costly, even in Calgary and surrounding area.
Yeah, you bet.
Minimum wage. And I actually had a bit of a conversation with a couple of people online through my Facebook saying that it should just be free market pricing. And then what about a living wage and all these different topics that come up? At the end of the day, there are parents out there who say, my adult child is having a tough time. I need to help out.
Right. Or they're being asked to help out. Yeah. Right. Sometimes there's some pressure there. Kelly, welcome to the show.
Dave and Faisal, great to be with you as always.
Well, we're always interested in your research and the feedback that you've got. And I want to start maybe just at a high level and get your thoughts on how many Canadians are helping out their adult children financially.
Yeah, so FP Canada, we did a survey actually a couple of years ago called Failure to Launch. I know I was on your show talking about it, about millennial kids having a hard time making it on their own. And we did a follow-up survey, but we also included the intent of helping your child buy their first home and also helping them out with rent. So let me unpack this a little bit. So a third of parents either have or intend to help their children with rent. That was something we didn't look at in the last survey. But half of those with kids under 18 anticipate helping them buy their first home. And we can talk about the potential perils of that in a moment. But what was also similar to our last survey, but the numbers were so much more this time, that the help that the parents were going to be giving to their adult children was going to cause them to delay retirement, delay paying off debt, and that it's an all-in-out financial strain helping their kids. So a lot of pressure on parents as if they don't have enough on their plate already, but helping adult kids survive out there is something that they're intending to do or actually doing.
We've pushed the timeline, haven't we? We I remember back in the day when I was younger, my dad would say, I can't wait till you're 18 and you're on your own. There was a timeline of at age 18, either you're going to post-secondary education or you're going to get a job and be on your own.
Right.
Hasn't that timeline changed now? Like, shouldn't we move that to, I don't know, 30?
I think some parents might disagree. Some might agree. It is a really hot topic. Now, in all fairness to younger folks coming out of the market, Dave and Faisal, I think we're kind of similar age in age, and a lot of your listeners would agree that several decades ago, if you came out with a university degree, you had a very good chance of getting a decent paying job. You weren't saddled with ridiculous amounts of student loan debt. I mean, my parents did not have money for me to go to university, so I still had to take out student loans. But today, I mean, university costs are soaring. Kids coming out don't necessarily get a job that is going to pay them what they had hoped. And a lot of, you know, when we came out with this survey a couple of years ago, and I did interviews right across Canada talking to so many people, they were like, look, hey, as a baby boomer, I did well. Maybe they, you know, had some great equity in their home and they wanted to help their kids. But here's where it becomes potentially problematic. There's a few things. Number one, in our survey, a lot of parents didn't know how they were going to help their kids. They said they were maybe going to dip into their equity. We didn't ask if they were going to cash out investments or RSPs, but they really didn't know how they were going to help. So the first issue is, do you have a financial plan? Are you sitting down with someone like a certified financial planner to figure out if you can help? if you are going to help, regardless if you can or not, what's the best way to do that? And then very lastly, here's where a lot of arguments, and I had a lot of people tweeting when we were doing the last survey, was it's usually one sibling getting the help, not usually right across the board. Yeah. So how does that play out with inheritance? If you are helping your adult child out, is it a gift? Is it a loan? What if they get, what if they're in a relationship that you don't know how it's going to turn out? Maybe they're an entrepreneur and there is that possibility of bankruptcy. How does that gift, especially if it's a major one, not just 50 bucks here and there, how does that play out? And does your adult child have a financial plan? I think it's really fair to ask your adult child if they keep coming back to the bank of mom and dad, you know, what's your budget? What's your financial plan? Do you have a plan? And then very lastly, guys, if you, as you know, we talked about this during the last survey, if you are intending on helping your child purchase a home, because maybe as a dream, you know, the baby boomer's dream was to have a home, are you setting them up for failure? Mm-hmm. Is that right. Is that down payment just a minimum getting them into the market? They don't have the emergency plan. They don't have enough for property taxes, maintenance. So this is where that larger financial conversation, I think, needs to happen, as opposed to these gifts being perhaps haphazard.
I've got two comments. One was the conversation about if I'm giving money to one child, do I give money to all my children? How does that impact my future, my estate plan? How are these gifts or loans or what have you? One thing that Dave, you and I talk about to our clients mm-hmm. is equal is not fair and fair is not equal.
Yeah, right.
And so you can right. treat your children differently to be fair, but it may not be equal. And that's something that goes to a value system. What do you value as individuals? And I think people who are transitioning to or living in retirement are still trying to figure out what they value.
Right. It doesn't mean that doesn't impact the family dynamic. Like, you need to
For
be
sure.
conscious of that and cognizant of what impact it may have.
But For sure.
your comment is exactly right. And so then it often, Kelly, and you can opine on this as well, but if equal doesn't mean fair and fair equal, and we do something differently, then you've got to have a plan in place to make sure that it doesn't, at the end of the day, that gift
and communicate that plan.
Yeah, and communicate and create a problem.
Yeah, so, communication is key with the family. I think yeah. one other point that I wanted to make was there's a lot of parents out there who are buying or putting money towards their kids so they can have a home or have a lifestyle because it's a reflection of them as a parent. It is not a reflection of what the child's best interests are. And so if my kid has a home, then I'm a successful parent because I taught that person how to have a home.
Right.
All the things that we consider to be successful in society, it looks bad on me if my kid's struggling. It looks bad on me if my kid can't make ends meet. It looks bad on me if my kid doesn't have the stuff that I had when I was his or her age. And that's an impact on that. People have to kind of do some self-check, look in the mirror and say, what's really important here, right?
Yeah. Kelly, got another, say, couple of minutes or so. So if you're in this position, you're thinking about this, or maybe you're getting pressure from the kids to do this, walk us through this. What do we do?
Yeah, and I like what you were saying, Faisal, how there's that pressure for the parents. But what's interesting, what you said was how they used to live, I think baby boomers forgot how they used to live. Because yeah. I think when they were starting out, especially a lot that I talked to, they were willing to sacrifice. They were willing to have the roommate and, you know, work the two jobs and all that. And they've kind of forgotten that now that they have that success. Yeah. And like you said, maybe there's that judgment on their kids looking successful. But, I mean, in what universe is a 30-year-old supposed to have it all made, supposed to have a house, supposed to still be able to tick off the bucket list, yeah. you know, entertain, have all of the fun and everything? Baby boomers, as far as I know, did not have all of that, right? They sacrificed for their home. And then your older listeners listening, we wouldn't even be having this conversation if it was a few decades ago and we were in double digit interest rate environments, right?
Right.
Because it just wouldn't have been the conversation. So, I mean, I hate to harp on it, but there's nothing that you can do other than start with that financial plan. And it goes on both sides. And that's what's also going to open up the conversation, the family conversation. And as both of you said, you know, because you're both in practice, that if those conversations are not had, and I love that fair but not equal kind of thing that you just talked about, you know that a lot of times the first time the family conversation happens is when mom or dad dies.
Yeah.
And that is not the time to have it happen. So, again, a lot of parents, a lot of families cannot have this conversation without it being a big fight. think that's where you have to have the independent third party come in, kind of calm things down, crunch numbers, even figure out if mom and dad can help. And sometimes, too, that is a big relief to mom and dad to be like, look, you guys really can't. You don't have enough to help. And having someone help them have the hard conversation with the kids that, look, maybe it's not in your best interest to get that down payment or what have you. So I really think that you need to have that financial coach on your side and have that roadmap to even figure out what you're talking about before. And really, the big takeaway is don't just give to the kids haphazardly. Yeah. Have a plan. Yeah. Figure out if it's a gift or a loan, and have that roadmap for both of you.
We have to leave it there, Kelly. Thanks, as always. Thanks for your input.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Been joined by Kelly Keene, author, personal finance educator, and consumer advocate for FP Canada. We've got a seminar coming up. We're going to talk about how to do these plans, like how to plan for this kind of stuff.
Yeah, these are the unexpected, extraordinary expenses that can impact your retirement. How do you have a strategy or a structure to make sure you can cover those issues? And we're going to talk about how you bulletproof your retirement on Tuesday, August 20th, 7 p.m. at the Carriage House Inn. You need to reserve your seats. So give us a call at 966-8400. That's 966-8400. Or go on our website to register at morethanmoneyradio.com.
You want to know what the plan is for the next big recession? Stick around after the break. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.